It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. Tomorrow, the Episcopal Diocese of New York will host what it's calling a solemn service of apology for the diocese's and church members' quote, participation and complicity in the transatlantic slave trade. Here to discuss the apology and the thinking behind it is Assistant Bishop for the Episcopal Diocese of New York, Mary Glasspool. Bishop Mary, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Michael.
The Episcopal Church in the USA dates back to the 1600s. Slavery, of course, goes back even further. Why the apology now?
Well, we see this as sort of an ongoing, it's not a one-off. It's not just the end of Black History Month or anything like that. We've had a reparations task force, then committee, then commission that has been doing active work in the Diocese of New York for the last 15 plus years. And of course, as you've just pointed out, slavery was part and parcel of the establishment of this country. So we're doing a service now to raise awareness of issues that still plague us in today's world. March 25th is the International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. And in the Christian calendar, liturgical calendar, it's also the Feast of the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces that she will give birth to Jesus. So we see this as an opportunity to lament, apologize, repent, and then be inspired and energized to repair the brokenness in our society caused by the evils of slavery.
The Episcopal Bishop of New York, Andrew Deechee, has said the New York Diocese played a significant and genuinely evil part in American slavery. Tell us what role the church played in the transatlantic slave trade, particularly in New York, please.
Well, New York City was second only to South Carolina in the number of African Americans that it received into its port. And leaders of the Episcopal Church were slave owners. We have records in our incredible archives of past conventions, annual meetings, where, for example, in 1860, on the eve of the Civil War, a resolution was proposed by one of the more progressive clergy in the Diocese of New York to condemn slavery. And after battling for 14 hours, they tabled that resolution. Mm-hmm. This is maybe a bit of trivia, but we hauled it off the table in 2019 and voted on it again. We've asked individual congregations, and there are close to 200 of them in the territory that comprises the Diocese of New York, to do their own history, to become familiar with their past. And in many, many cases, they've uncovered records of the actual church building being built by slaves. St. James Madison Avenue is one such church, and they put a plaque right on Madison Avenue on the stone wall facing Madison Avenue, claiming that truth and apologizing for it. And it's there so that people can remember accurately the history that brought, in part, St. James Madison Avenue into being. And I'm sure that's true of many, many other churches, not only in Manhattan, but Staten Island, the Bronx, Westchester, Putnam, Dutchess, Ulster, Sullivan, Orange, and Rockland counties.
Now, the apology of the diocese goes beyond words. The church previously said it would set aside $1.1 million for a reparations fund. What's the thinking behind that fund? And given the harm you describe, is it enough?
It's not enough at $1.1 million, but I want to be quick to say that reparations is not only about the money. It's about the relationships, and it's about just structures in society. So, yes, we have the diocese by vote has initially put aside $1.1 million. The implicit message there is the work of repair, the work of reparations is ongoing. So, yes, it's not enough. And we're developing programs that we hope will, for example, fund new initiatives to teach about history, the history of people of African descent, as well as perhaps other minorities as we expand this, help parishes dig into their own history and genealogy and learn from that. We're trying to remember more accurately what is the truth of our past. What are the pieces of history that we really didn't learn? And how can we teach that and free ourselves up to be more creatively beloved citizens of our country and in our religious circles of the church?
Bishop Mayer, I'm going to go back to the money just 1 second here. I'm curious, sure. What is the church's plan for distributing those funds, and who decides how they will be spent?
We're working on those processes right now. We are establishing a 501c3 nonprofit that will essentially be a grant-making fund. And as to who makes decisions, we are being collaborative, the members of the Reparations Commission, but members of the diocesan trustees, including the leadership of the diocese, will all have voice. And the Reparations Mission will be accountable to the annual convention, to the diocesan trustees, and will make reports. But we're not just going to accumulate a lot of money and then divide it up among people who claim that they are descendants of slaves and write checks and then call it a day. That's not the work of reparations. It's much more complicated than that, and something that we really need to take the time to work on.
A lot of times when we start having these discussions about reparations and understanding the history, there's a thought that, well, that had nothing to do with me. It's 2023. Yeah. What happened, what we're talking about is 1850 or 1720, nothing to do with me. So how is all this sitting with church members who are overwhelmingly white and, of course, many generations removed from those who were the actual enslavers?
Absolutely, Michael. And you've put your finger on one of the, if not hot spots, the talking points that we have to go over again and again and again. None of us who are alive today were alive during the Civil War. But what we're trying to teach is this is not just an apology of individuals. This is an institutional apology. And people in our day and age tend not to think systemically. We're talking about whole systems, whole institutions that have affected the lives of individuals. And even on an individual basis, I would say that perhaps the greatest thing that we can individually apologize for is our desire not to know about it, not to face the truth or the reality, not to think about the past. So, you know, oppression, power, the legacies of slavery are all present in contemporary life through systems and in our institutions. The inequities and injustices, they appear in the forms of housing, education, healthcare, labor and economic disparities, law enforcement, and in our criminal justice systems. Look at our elaborate prison system. So history sets the context for the present. And we need to challenge people to think about that and think of how we can unpack the history that we learn about and structure our systems to be more equitable and fair and just to all different kinds of people.
Well, we will certainly like to revisit this once the commission gets going and decisions are made. I've been speaking with Assistant Bishop for the Episcopal Diocese of New York, Mary Glasspool. Mary, what a conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.